Okay, we're going to get rolling. Yeshar Koach, thank you so much to our preparers, our cooks, our chefs, those who set up. We really, really appreciate it. Everyone is reaping the fruits of your bounty. Yeshar Koach. We are without a sponsor this morning. If anyone wants to sponsor, Smer Shtemol, Sveitmo, Richie Wienenfeld, setting up. Yes? Honor, memory?
In honor of the restart.
In honor of the restart. Baruch Hashem, the reboot. Shkoyach Richie, exactly. Saying Havdalah on the pandemic. Beautiful. Okay. So, we're in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. And we're going to talk about the Parah Aduma. The Kliyaka really is a beautiful piece. It'll be, you'll see as we see it, a little bit will be sort of cryptic. But then, as it moves forward into the next piece, you'll be able to find, we'll be able to find out more and understand more of what he's talking about. Obviously, the Parah Aduma, the most, right, the ultimate chok, the ultimate illogical law, the illogical mitzvah, that is irrational. So let's see. V'ichwe lecha parah v'gomer. So we're on the second column. The first, where it says chukat, but it's the second page, second column. So Perish Rashi, la'olam hinikres al shmecha. So this is where he jumps off from. This is where he launches from. So Rashi explains, v'ikhu elecha para aduma, take to yourself a para. So God says, according to Rashi, that the para aduma will always be called after you. Meaning, I'm going to name the para after you. Okay? It's a funny thing, right? The parah is going to be Moshe. We have the Tratz. They're very big Zionists. They have a dog. The dog's name is Golda, after Golda Meir. Right? Very sweet. Very nice. A Moshe? The parah is going to be called Moshe? Maya karu gedul lanasa l'moshe b'zev, shetikare apara al shmo. What is the yakaru gedula? By the way, that's a nice biblical allusion to... Megillah, very good. Shkoyach, thanks, Joel. Right? It's the Megillah, right? Ma yakaru gdula. What greatness can we do? Well, how was Moshe Zochet that the paro be called on his name? And he means it seriously. V'akor b'ilein lomar b'zeh, she'im mitzvah nikreis ki'im al shem gomra. And it seems to me that we know that a mitzvah is only considered the mitzvah on its ending, right? We see how you finish it. Upon its conclusion, the mitzvah is considered, obviously complete, but it's considered whole. And we look at it, we look at the conclusion of the mitzvah. Uladas Rabbi Seinu Zal, the rabbis tell us, HaPara Kipra Al Avon HaEgel, that the para came to atone for the sin of the golden calf. Tavo HaEim U'Tikanech Tzoat Bina. That the mother, the mashal, is that the mother should come and clean up the mess of her son, right? Her son made a whatever in the middle of the king's palace. Let the mother come and clean it up. The nimshal, obviously, is the para coming to clean up for the egel, right? The egel zav, right, was the sin of golden calf, and the para aduma is meant to be as an atonement for that. So just as we know that Moshe began this kapara, right? It's really amazing the parallel between the egel and what happened to the egel. They sit in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. What does Moshe do? He takes the egel and he burns it and he grinds it up and he sprinkles. Sounds exactly like what we do to the Parah Aduma. Mamish, right? You take the Parah, you shecht it, you burn it, you grind it up, you sprinkle, same thing. And it's always very interesting when, I think this is your brother's Bar Mitzvah Parsha Aaron, where Kitisa and Parah, I think, were together. Simon had this also. Yeah. But it's Kitisa and Parah together, really interesting, because it's really double barrel, right? It's the child. And the parents, right? It's the beginning of the mitzvah of pulverizing the other, uprooting the idolatry, and ending it. Fine. Nice. Kach yigmora kapara shegam hagamar yikare al shamo. Just as Moshe started it, right? So now he's going to end it with the parah. V'zetam amru rabu seinu zal, kisheshama Moshe shakadosh baruch hu amar halacha b'shem Eliezer, and this is it explains the Yalkut, as Moshe had heard Hashem say a halacha in the name of Eliezer. Para batshtayim, egla batshnata, that a para should be 2 years old, and egla should be 1 year old, whatever. Amar yehiratzon shehe Eliezer zeyim yotzei chalatzai. Moshe heard this, and he was so attracted to this teaching, he was so kashur to this concept of the para, that he heard the name Eliezer, and he's like, man, I love that name. I want this Eliezer to be my descendant. What are Moshe's children's names? Gershom and Eliezer, right? Shenamar v'shemo echad Eliezer. As it says, one of his kids' name is Eliezer. Umarom, so he's like connected to it. He feels a kinship with this mitzvah. Umarom Moshe al kacha levakesh al dinzeh sheyetzei mitzotei chalatzav. Again, why is Moshe so connected? Like, oh, I want this to come out. It'll be from my children. Yoter mikol sisrei haTorah, more so than all of the secrets of the Torah. Ne'amarim be'emes. Mikol dor v'darshav, dor v'chachma, that have said, you know, been said throughout generations and generations. Why this one? Ella lefisha b'maisa ha'egel, masar Moshe nafsho al Yisrael. Because through the maisa ha'egel, through this the golden calf, the aftermath of the golden calf, Moshe literally risked his life. He was willing to, and he showed an incredible amount of self-sacrifice in this mitzvah. How so? Shenamar, Mecheni na misifrcha shekasavta. As Moshe said to Hashem, right? The buck stops with me. No, you're not gonna destroy everyone and start again with me. You wanna kill them, you kill me first. Mecheni na misifrcha. Erase me from your book. V'nikra'u al shemo. Therefore, right, it'll be called after his name. That's the aftermath of the Paraduma. That's when Moshe really becomes Moshe, right? Moshe obviously was, right, like every individual, he's a person. He was probably the greatest of all men to have lived. But there's an evolution in Moshe. And Moshe really becomes Moshe when he steps up for B'nai Yisrael. Right? He could have very easily said, these people are mishugoyim, these people are crazy, I left. But he doesn't, right? This is, by the way, according to the Kabbalists, who had almost an exact situation, obviously different circumstances, but almost an exact situation, who had this, and he actually didn't stand up, you know, for the people? Noah, right? That's why the Kabbalists say that Moshe is a Gilgul, Moshe's neshama is a Gilgul of Noah's neshama. And Moshe is a tikkun for what Noah couldn't do, right? You see the parallels are very obvious, right? There's the teva, he's saved by a teva, the water, really interesting. But now this is the defining moment. Hashem goes to Noah and says, Noah, everyone's terrible, I'm going to kill them. And Noah says, all right, build an ark, okay, right? And whereas when it comes to Moshe, sorry, Mecheni na misifrcha, right? No way. Absolutely not. V'nikru al shemo. Shenemar v'yizkor yimei olam Moshe amo. The people themselves are called by Moshe's name. Right? V'yizkor yimei olam Moshe amo. Moshe's nation. Al ken ratza shagam b'farazo mirosh v'yadzov tikarei al shemo. Therefore, when it comes to the para, he also wanted the Hashem saw to it, or no, sorry, Moshe wanted this mitzvah to be called after his name. He wanted to be associated, always affiliated, associated with this mitzvah. It's his most crowning achievement. Ki para zo ta'ama l'sharesh achar ha'avod zara. Because the idea of this para is to uproot avodah zarah, to uproot idolatry. This is where it gets, for me, cryptic. What? What are you talking about? Well, how is the Parah Aduma coming to uproot Avodah Zarah? I get how the Egel comes to uproot Avodah Zarah by definition, right? He uprooted it. What does the Parah have to do with that? It seems like a very odd statement. You'll see. He'll kind of get to it without mentioning it. V'cheina Egla Arufa Kapar Shvichustamim. We know the Egla Arufa. So you have the Parah and the Egel. He's making an equation here. You have the Parah, the mother, the Egla Arufa, right? The calf with the broken neck of the calf. That is a Kapara Ashvichustamim on murder. That's obvious. We know that connection. Ki b'maisa egel avru gamal shvichus damim, because at egel they also were over, they also transgressed murder. Who did they kill? They killed Chur, b'harigas Chur. Chur was, I always forget, Chur is Miriam's husband? Miriam's husband, right. Okay. L'kach nemar v'yikchu e'lecha she'gmar mitzvah zo tikarei ha'shmecha, and therefore you're connected to it forever. Again, you're moser nefesh for it. It's against the avodah zarah. It's sort of like the egel hazah. V'yan, oh, I forgot to do this. Oh, Jeff Steinberg's going to be upset. Says set up as soon as you can, please, Andre. V'yan ki nemar zo chukas ha'torah v'lo nemar chukas ha'para sh'mamina she'ator ve'apara inyan echad lahem. And the fact that it says Zos Chukas HaTorah and not Zos Chukas HaParah, right? It's a whole parsha about the Parah Aduma. Why does it say Zos Chukas HaTorah, not Zos Chukas HaParah? Shema Mina SheHaTorah, we see that the Torah and the Parah are completely intertwined. They're completely interconnected one with the other. Kimo SheHaTorah Nikreis Al Shmo Shel Moshe. Just as the Torah is called up, you know, by Moshe's name, Shnemar Zichru Torah Moshe Abdi, as it says, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Kacha Par Tikarei Al Shemo. So too the Parah is called on his name. Fine. V'tam Shnehem Echahu, and the reason is for the same for both of them is the same. Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru Ba'olam. There were 50 gates of wisdom created in the world. V'chulam nimsru l'Moshe chaser achas. And everything was given to Moshe. So 50 minus 1, 49 was given to Moshe except for one. V'al yedei mem techari bina shehisig. And through the 49 gates of wisdom that he comprehended. Hayalo mavo lavo v'sod Hashem lidrosh ha-tor b'mem te'panim tar b'mem te'panim tameh. And through that, right, he was able to, Moshe is able to darshan the Torah, 49 level, it's 49 gradations of purity, 49 of tameh, etc. Very nice. Monim ha'in da-da-dum, ki ha-yedei zeh imros Hashem Torah, smirkogos shivosayim, ha'inu shival shil yav 7 on 7. Now the next paragraph, what he's going to do, he's going to show you this 49... This whole 49 thing, how it works. And he says, look, he mentions it's a 7 times this, and then it's a 7 times that. Here, Rabbi Hanan, go down in the next paragraph, go down to 4 lines down, 5 lines down. Rabbi Hanan bar Papi Pasar Kari Parshas Para, he took the psukim in Parshas Para, and he said it has 7 sevens. Sheva Paro, Sheva Hazayo, Sheva Srefos, Sheva Kibusim, Sheva Tmeim, Sheva Torm. All the sevens, why? Again, 7 times 7, 49, right? Because, according to this, according to Kli Yakar, and the way that he's darshaning, Moshe did understand the reason for the Parah Aduma. Moshe is the only one who understood the reason. The 49 gates of wisdom were opened up to him, but not everyone was Zoche. To have that 49 that 49th level what's it called? Sorry, that 49th gate of wisdom. See, it says on the in that second paragraph, 4 lines from the bottom. L'cho ani megalesod para b'yichu elecha para. I will reveal the idea of the para, the secret of the para to you. V'la'cherim yichu kapa. For everyone else, it's going to be totally out of bounds. V'lama nelma mein kolchai, and why is it hidden from everyone else? Elafishiyish ba mispar mem tet v'zerem eshein lazaki kutzar kolin yanaki imal yidei mem tet shari bima. The only person who is zochet to these 49 levels is Moshe Rabbeinu. Something I've definitely said before. You might have heard already, but it bears repeating. Right? Where do we know about Moshe in terms of the 49 levels of Tumah? What mountain does Moshe die on? What's the name of the mountain? Har. Ooh, guys, come on.
Nebo.
Thank you. Har Nebo. Nebo. Nun. Bo. Nun Bo. 50 is within him. 50 is, I forgot where I said this, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, maybe. Nun Bo. I mean, this is a Kabbalistic, you know, concept. He died at 50. That's Har Nebo, right? He reaches the level, he says, Hashem, show me your face. God says, I can't show, you know, no person can see my face and live. Lo yirani adam achai. I'll give you 49 in this world, which is the highest anyone's gotten. 50 I can't give you. This is when he dies. He transitions to the next world. Nun bo. Okay, 50 is within him. Okay, weiter. So now we have to go down. We're still stuck on one issue. The connection between the Para Aduma and Avodah Zarah. Again, we have a loose connection. It's similar to the Egel. It comes to Atone. But where does that, how does that play in? So Para Aduma, Para Aduma Tumima. It's the next piece. Mashal ben Shivcha Shetine Paltin Emel. So he gives the mashal, right? You have a child who soils the palace of the king. Amru Tavo Aim Tekanech Tzoapina. So they say, you know, let the mother come. You know, let the child's mother, the baby's mother, come. This maidservant and clean up the mess. Levi Shekola wrote to Levatel Eze Gidul Ra. Ain Dai B'Sheyichros Ha'Anafim. Because if you want to get rid of something. And there's a bad growth, right? That's it's not growing well, or it's tainted in some way. You can't just cut off the branches. What do you have to do? Kol zman shebaaretz yamud kizo. As long as this poison, as long as this whatever it is that's bad for the growth of that tree, as long as it's in the roots, it's going to die. Shorish poret rosh vilana. You got to uproot it. Because eventually it'll always come back, right? The weeds are always going to come back. You have to uproot them. Aval bebitul hashorish yiplu gam haanafim. But when you destroy the root, so then also the branches will fall down. K'moshin emar ba'ashmid pir yom imal v'shar ashab nitachat shmamina shelo dai be'ashmadas apri levad. Therefore, we see you can't just destroy that which comes out of it. You can't destroy the fruit. You have to uproot it. That's how the rabbis tell us, if you're going to get rid of idolatry, you have to uproot it. You have to get to the root cause. Why did it happen? What's this about, right? You have to have a fact-finding mission. You have to have a state inquiry and say, how did this happen and how can we make sure that it never happens again? That's where it comes from. There's a root to this, and the root was infected with something. Once we get rid of the reason, the root cause, then the cause itself won't happen. I know atolada. And the siba is compared to the mother, right, where it comes from. Therefore, God commands us to burn the para, the heifer, aim shela egel, the mother of the calf. So that we can learn, okay, you have to uproot it, get to the root cause. That's nice. Keep going. Then they won't mess up afterwards. And in Kitisa, we spoke about this at length. So what was the reason? What happened with the Egel Azav? There was too much Zahav. Right? In Vidi Zahav, in Parshas Devarim, right? Moshe begins Sefer Devarim, gives a Musa Shmuz to the Jewish people, and he says, Vidi Zahav. He said, they had too much. And they had too much Zahav. They had too much gold. They didn't know what to do with it. Hashem, basically Moshe says, Hashem was your fault. Right? Yeah, you guys messed up, but Hashem was your fault. You gave it all to them. You dropped them. The Gemara makes the mashal. It's one of my favorite mashals. The Gemara makes a mashal to a kid. You give him everything, and you bathe him, and you clothe the child in the finest clothing, and you give him everything you want. Oh, you want this, sure. You want that, okay, fine. And then the child comes of age, and you take a pouch of money, right, a sack full of money, and you drop him off in front of a house of ill repute. And the Gemara says, "Ma yaase oto haben shelo yecheta." What does it mean? How could he not sin? How could he not sin? Well, he gave everything. He spoiled them rotten, right? Too much, Hashem. You gave him too much. It's the gold. It's the silver. They got totally into it, and all of a sudden, they're turning it into an idol. By the way, even more so, they're worshiping it as the idol, right? What happens with money and power, prestige, well, all of that stuff, we know that becomes an idol. Kamar Abuseinu Atagal Ramtlam. As the rabbis say, it's your fault. Ulfisha Azava Adoma Adoma Zeh Yamli De Maasa Zeh. And since this they call it red. Red and gold are similar in rabbinic parlance. They're like similar similar color, similar hue. Al kein yichu para aduma. Therefore, bring a red cow. Lisrofu levatil marea adoma zeh. So you're saying, what's the root? How is it up against the Avodah Zarah? Because the root is the worship of money. Right, and what that brings us to, and you know, and totally, you know, skewed priorities and values that are upended. The zavlo yarbilahem od ba'azlo yavoli day ma'isekazeh. Therefore, you won't get to that. The inyan, he says, I'll take it even further, and we'll close with this. The inyan amokzeh the hamashal this shibro hera Hashem v'ma'iseh egel, and Hashem showed this very deep image with the egel ki ugaram tumas. Hamais, because ultimately the egel caused tumat mate, right? We know that the egel really comes, doesn't atone for tumat mate, but it comes to rectify tumat mate, right? It comes to rectify spiritual impurity, defiling oneself to the dead. Why? Because at Matan Torah, the Jewish people were free. And they say, they were free from the angel of death. Right? That they weren't going to die anymore. Cleoca says, nah, it's not true. This is great because we're like, really? They were never going to die? He says, no, it's not that. The Eina Perushaita Kavana Levata Amavis Legamri. It's not what it meant. It doesn't mean, the rabbis aren't telling us that there would be no death and the world would, you know, sort of cease to exist as we know it would have been perfection and we wouldn't die. And so, no, that's not what it is. Ela, what is it? Ela Inyan Cheruk Zeh. The Cherus was. Who davka mimalach hamavis? It would be cherus from the angel of death. Shelo yamusukim b'neshika al pi Hashem. People would have died only through neshika, through the kiss of death, through Hashem. How Moshe died, right? And there wouldn't be this sort of association with tuma in the world. We'd be purer people. We'd be more refined individuals. We'd be more apt to run after spiritual things than physical things. Va'azlo hayu amesim tmeim, and then there would be no tumas meis. Right? We know according to certain people. Right? I don't know what they pot. What does a kohen in general? Right? In let's say in the regular belt, a kohen doesn't go to mar samach pela. Right? They don't. But there are certain people who say, right, and there is certain communities, well, they'll say it's okay that you can. Why? Because tzaddikim, right, aren't metamim, right? Lamaisa, we don't go that route. But tzaddikim aren't metamim, right? We could say at least that the avos nimos were tzaddikim tzidkaniyam. Right. You go, great, right. But azla, you made him to me. Because where does tuma come from? Tuma's mace comes from the death, which came from the malach hamavis. Habami sitra de mizava. Because again, if a person, you know, we live our lives. There's duality in our lives, right? And we're always engaged in this battle, you know, of the ruchnias versus the gashmias. And so yeah, so we're going to be tainted by death. But a person who dies through neshika, there is no tzad tuma. They say the day that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi died, they say shabo bayom batla kahuna. The kahuna was nizbatel. The Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, there was no kahuna. Kahuna was ceased to exist that day. Why? There was no tuma. Kilo ayasham tuma. There was no tuma. It was okay for the Kohanim to go and engage and bury him and give him kavod. Why? It's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Right? He was perfect. It was totally refined his entire being. We see that when at Kabbalah Satorah, we were free from the angel of death in terms of not having tumah. We had a certain path in front of us and it was clear and it was obvious. Almost like the, you know, Adam and Chava before they ate from the fruit. The same idea. But through the egel that they made, it came back. And the Malach HaMavis now is Shlita again. We're back in that battle. Therefore, the egel caused the tuma of mace. Al kein tavoim tekanech tochbina. Therefore, really, let the mother, the para come to clean up the mess of the egel. Ula hasira tuma al yidei efer para b'zeh payosh yakar. And he says, and so let her, she comes and she cleans it up and she removes the tum. It's a beautiful imagery of the mother coming and fixing things up and removing. And I think we could bring this back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That why is it called after Moshe's name? Why is Moshe always forever associated with the para? Because Moshe was the shepherd of the Jewish people. There's a reason why he's called the shepherd. Right, because of the way he cared for every single Jew, the way he literally was like, no, not on my watch. Even the sinners, even the worst, I got them. I'm here. Right. So Moshe played that role almost of the para. Moshe was able to bring the para, the idea of the para, into existence. So how do we channel Moshe? It's the end of the parasha, which is Moshe's undoing. What's Moshe's undoing? Yan lo he'emantem mi. La'akdisheni, right? You didn't cause them to believe in me. But on a certain level, Hashem saying to Moshe, you didn't believe in the people. You didn't believe that they could be mekabel, what you were going to do with the rock and the miracles. And you didn't believe in the people. And that was, it's like, okay, you know, now it's time for another leader. To channel Moshe, right? We have to believe in the Jewish people. We should never give up on people. We should always see the good in people. And Amir Tashem, we could get rid of Tuma and bring Tara into the world once again. Shkoyach.